Now in the West, we traditionally go, or at least traditionally have gone for many centuries now, to the opposite extreme. Here, far from overvaluing the guru, we've hardly any concept of the guru at all. This is largely due, I think, to the influence for so many centuries of Christianity. On one hand, you've got God, with various attributes. You believe in God if you're a Christian. And on the other, you've got the head of the particular religious group to which you belong. You've got an ecclesiastical superior. So there seems to be no room for the guru in the true sense. Even gurus, if any appear, any saints, if they appear, are subject to the rule, usually, of the ecclesiastical authorities. So if one reads the history of medieval Christianity, you sometimes find that even a great saint had sometimes to submit to a bad pope. And this might not have done the saint any particular harm, not very much anyway, but it was certainly very bad for the pope, and bad maybe for the church as a whole. But though this episode, this tradition, has been quite a long one, we mustn't think that the West has never known what a guru is, even in the Eastern sense. We may say that there were quite a number of gurus, in the Eastern sense, in ancient Greece and Rome. There was Plato, who maintained a sort of school, the academy. There was Pythagoras, who founded spiritual communities. There was Apollonius of Tyana. And above all, perhaps, there was Plotinus. He's a very good example of this sort of thing. If we read Porphyry's life of Plotinus, especially those paragraphs which deal with Plotinus's later life in Rome, where he used to speak to his disciples, speak to little groups, where he had his disciples living with him, where he helped them, where he advised them, one gets the impression of a sort of ashram type, sort of spiritual community type setup, which usually one regards as being more characteristic of the East than of the West, especially in the days of the Roman Empire. But all these, we may say, all these great figures of the classical past, Greek and Roman, were gurus in the Eastern, the true sense of the term. Now, in modern times, in contemporary times, we find that there are signs that the West is again beginning to appreciate the importance of the guru, even despite our democratic and egalitarian prejudices. Usually we like to think that everybody's the same. No one's better than anybody else. Certainly nobody more highly evolved than anybody else. This sort of conception goes foreign to all our ways of thinking for so many centuries. But even so, there are signs in the West today that people are beginning to appreciate the importance and the significance in the general economy of things, of beings more highly evolved, more highly developed than average, even though they sometimes speak of them not so much in terms spiritual, but perhaps as geniuses, and so on, even heroes, if you like, as Carlyle did. I remember that when I was over in the United States at the beginning of the year, I was rather struck by a phenomenon which I hadn't noticed before. And that was by the fact that there seems to be, in the United States, quite a number of sort of guru figures. They were usually attached to universities, and they usually sort of circuited. They went around from one university campus to another, and crowds of students flocked to them. It is quite clear that the students were looking for a sort of guru figure. Someone wiser than themselves, someone who could speak to them, someone who could tell them which way to go. And there seem to be quite a number, as I've said, of these sort of guru figures, or at least semi-guru figures. Remember, among the more popular, there were, for instance, Buckminster Fuller, as well, people really hanging on his words. And then there was Allen Ginsberg. Quite a lot of people regard him in this sort of way. And more recently, Barbara Ram Dass, formerly Richard Alpert, the associate of Timothy Leary. Now, one might say that some of these, at least, are not so much even semi-gurus as guru figures rather than the real thing, even to some extent, in some ways, father figures. But they do nevertheless represent a very interesting development. the fact that so many young people in the United States, I don't think so much here by any means, but certainly in the United States, feel, or even think quite consciously, that there's not much to be gained from books as such, that the more conventional voices, voices of religion, politics, even the arts, don't really say very much to them, and who are therefore looking for someone whom they can regard in this sort of way, someone to whom they can look up, whom they can feel is more developed than themselves, more evolved than themselves, and who can guide them truly, give them real advice, and shed real light on the path that they have to tread today. I think this is a very interesting and very significant development.